AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. Celtic are now 4 points clear after blowing Ross County away, with Aberdeen dropping points yesterday. It was points over performance again for Rangers, who saw off St Johnstone in Perth, and there were big wins for Hibs and Dundee United, and the fourth round of the Scottish Cup draw takes place tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Partick Thistle's Brian Graham and Roger Hanna.
And as you say, Celtic 4 clear, it could be 7 clear if they win at Pittodrie on Wednesday night. And our Rangers beginning to sneak up in the Dons. They are still 7 behind with a game in hand. But if they could beat Kilmarnock at Ibrox on Wednesday night and maybe get a favour from Celtic, if that doesn't sound too daft, suddenly the race for second looks more competitive than the race for first.
I have to say, I admire you coming on here, putting Saturday to one side. We're talking about the cup draw on a big weekend. Look at this man, he's not too disappointed. Brian Graham, he's here and looking back on a big weekend.
No, of course I'm disappointed we can put out the cup first and foremost, but listen, I thought we were actually great in the first half. We just never took our chances. The goalkeeper had one of those games, but on reflection, us as players, we've got to reflect on ourselves at times, and we had some really big chances we should have taken. We didn't. We're losing penalties and we're out the cup for another year.
This is a test of a really good pundit, a loyal pundit, when they come in on a Monday after they've lost. Just think of the ones who don't come in on a Monday after they've lost.
Where is he? Actually, that's a good point.
I'm not sure.
You're trying to cast aspersions on after Motherwell's 3-0 defeat.
I didn't name any names.
Who got subbed at half time again?
Apostolos Tamatalopoulos.
There was another. Anyway, listen, we'll leave him be for now. 0141-951-1025. How are you after the weekend? What is on your mind? Give us the lot on the phones and on Twitter. If we start yesterday and work our way back across the weekend, Rangers fans, I feel like we've been here before. Is it just points over performance? What was lacking in that regard yesterday? Or maybe you're over that. Maybe you're now just, you've chucked it all and you're decided you're happy with the 3 points. Nothing else matters for now and you move on. What did you make of the game in Perth yesterday? Then back to Saturday, Celtic fans, which of the fringe players really took their chance? Because there were 6 changes. I mean, even Hugh Keevan suggested 8 changes on Friday night. He was nearly right. There were 6 and it clearly didn't impact the performance. Game over within 40 minutes. In fact, game over probably before that. But 5-0 after 40 minutes. What did you make of it? Who were the fringe players that took their chance and managed to force their way into Brendan Rodgers' thinking for some busy games coming up? St Mirren fans, are you feeling aggrieved a bit over the weekend? I know there was an action-packed game up there at Tannadice. Any thoughts from the Cup? You can get them in as well. We've got the draw tonight, so who do you want? Get your wish list over to us. It is going to take place in a few hours' time. This is where all the big boys join in. So give us your wish list for that Scottish Cup draw as well. And if there's anything else you think we've missed, put us in our place on 0141-951-1025. What was your result of the weekend?
Sometimes I think we overlook the Old Firm results of the weekend. I don't think you can overlook Celtic 5-0 up at half time against Ross County with, as you said, 6 changes. I think Brendan Rodgers got the balance right between Club Bruges one midweek, Aberdeen at Pittodrie the next midweek. He shuffled the pack and his special reserve certainly shone in the first half.
For me, it's got to be Hibs and David Gray. They've obviously been struggling.
Fine.
Struggling this year. But it was a great 3-0 victory for them. And listen, they just need to start looking up the way they've not had the greatest time of it. He's been under severe pressure, but he's an ex-teammate of mine and I'm glad to see him get a good result the weekend.
He always goes for his former clubs. Hibs, one of his 22
former. He could pick any result over the weekend and it would be one of his former clubs. Right, goal of the weekend. I think you had good choices this weekend.
Yeah, very good choices. I always like to go for one from the game that I've been at for Super Scoreboard, so I'm going to go for Bobby Wales. that equaliser for Kilmarnock against Dundee, only in the pitch 2 minutes. If it wasn't his first touch, it must only be his second or third. And then he had a couple of chances after that, nearly won it. He did very well. And I'll be fascinated to see whether Dennett McInnes throws him in at Ibrox on Wednesday night.
Okay, good choice. What are you going for, Brian?
For me, it's Callum McGregor. He's got his Premiership top goal scorer.
Incredible.
All goals outside the box. So that for me was goal of the week.
Someone needs one of the stats. Boffins, Roger, I know you're big on your XG and stuff. But nobody loves XG like you. So I just wonder what the... how much he's outperforming that sort of stuff, because they always talk about, you know, the Brentford and all these teams who analyse things that, you know, you shouldn't really be shooting from there. They're low percentage chances.
Well,
Callum McGregor has done it 6 times and he's the top scorer in the Premiership.
And his XG's 1.97.
You made that up, didn't you?
Yeah.
See, everyone trusts
it,
what you say.
So convincing.
You are not Gordon DL. People trust what you say in this show, so don't say it so blasé. Two good goals then. What about Howler of the weekend?
I think poor old Marcus Fraser of St Mirren conceded both penalties at Tannadice, get two yellow cards. That meant a red card, and he will now have to sit out the game at the weekend.
I'm going to come back to your team, Motherwell. Unfortunately, okay. Gordon, I think the goalkeeper, Oxborough, for Hibs' first goal, he comes out and he's caught no man's land. Ball goes over his head and Hoylett's out the back post to stick it in. 1-0.
Just going to revisit yours. Does that mean you think both Marcus Fraser's decisions were correct?
Yeah, probably.
All right, St Mirren fans, you want to take him to task on that, please do. 01419511025. And finally, top man, top performer, anyone that deserves a mention.
Well, if you can noise up Gordon about Motherwell's defeat, I'm afraid I'm going to have to mention the Queen's Park goalie, Callum Ferry.
I can't believe he's done that to
outstanding
you.
During the game, outstanding in the penalty shootout, and somehow he got Queen's Park past your boys.
I've got to agree with you. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. There was one for myself. I thought I'd put it in the top corner, and he somehow managed to tip it over the bar. And I couldn't believe it at the time, and I had a wee joke when we went to the corner. I was like, how you saved that? He just started laughing. It was one of those days where the goalkeeper was just incredible, and unfortunately for us, that's why we're out of the cup.
Fair enough, okay. Who jumped out for you? Anyone worthy of note?
I'm going to go McCown from Celtic. He's not played He's not played a lot this year, and when he's come in, he's done well. He scored a few goals for Celtic. He comes back, he gets a start at the weekend, gets another goal, so that'll be my player.
Okay, there we go. Oh, that's the awards dished out, the awards that everyone wants. So 01419511025, give us a call and let us know what is on your mind. Rangers fans, what did you make of yesterday? What stood out for you? Obviously there was such a kind of high, if you like, or a relative high after the game on Thursday. What did you make of it yesterday? Was there anyone that impressed you? Anyone that didn't? We're back to this, you got the win, but what's missing from the performance level? We've probably had that discussion before, but what is the... what's the latest thought process there? So Rangers fans, give us all your post-match analysis of the game in St Johnstone yesterday. Let's do that right now. Some interesting comments from Philippe Clement and James Tavernier in the aftermath of it, because Dujon Sterling is injured. We know that Casemiro is now going to be out for a long time, so all of a sudden James Tavernier, I guess, back, number one right back, and playing for the foreseeable. So give us your thoughts there, please, Rangers fans. What did you make of the performance? Back to Saturday, Celtic fans, Brian's given his performer of the weekend to Luke McCown. Is that something you would go along with? Which of those so-called fringe players, because I know that sort of sounds a bit harsh, but for the purposes of this, who of them took their chance? 6 changes for Celtic at the weekend. Has anyone given Brendan Rodgers serious food for thought? Because it's a top of the table clash on Wednesday. You tend to play your best team in top of the table clashes. Has anyone forced their way in or made Brendan Rodgers' decision a bit more difficult? Do let us know. 01419511025. If you're on for a moan, maybe that includes St Mirren fans, maybe it includes Motherwell fans, Hearts fans still near bottom, but are there encouraging signs there? Hibs fans, for the first time in a long time, you've had more of a positive weekend, shall we say. So whatever it is, let's do it all on 01419511025. Give us a call and let us know. We're about to head into that massive, crazy period of fixtures, aren't we, Roger? We're getting there.
We're actually just trying to work out beforehand, you know, when all the fixtures were going to fall in the next month or so, because we're sitting here on the 2nd of December, and right the way through until the Old Firm game on the 2nd of January, it is just chaos. There's midweek league games, there's weekend games, there's a European card next midweek, including, of course, Celtic in Zagreb and Rangers at home to Ange Postecoglou's Tottenham. There's a Premier Sports Cup final a week on Sunday. It is mayhem, and we love it in Super Scoreboard.
it's a time of the year, it's obviously special, Christmas time, but the punters love it. Because you get time off work, you get to go to the football. I think you go back to the COVID time when everybody was really missing their football, especially at the festives, because that's when you really get to go and see, go with family and friends, really enjoy the occasion. So as a player that I'm still playing, I'm still lucky to keep playing football at 37 years of age. But for the punters, they'll really enjoy it, and we'll all look forward to it.
You know, we don't get time off work, but we still get to go to the football.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Great to be there. Right, 01419511025. Let's start Saturday this time. Sometimes we work backwards, but Rangers fans, will do that in a second. Celtic making six changes, sometimes that reduces things just a bit, knocks 10% off the performance, but didn't seem to have any impact this time, did it?
It certainly didn't. The first half, Gabs was at the game for Super Scoreboard. I was sitting down at Rugby Park, and we've got a Super Scoreboard group chat that you put the goals into, Gordon. Well, the goals were coming that quickly in that little spell just before half time. I'd actually lost track of how many goals Celtic had scored until I listened to Gab's half-time report. They were relentless in that period in the first half. At half-time, Don Cowie must have wondered just exactly how bad it was going to get for County, because he lost his goalkeeper and among it all as well, and it looks like a nasty injury for Ross Laidlaw. But fortunately, Jack Hamilton did a bit better. They came back out, they were more resolute, County, and Celtic declared, if you like, at 5-0. I think Brendan Rodgers will be very content with his afternoon's work.
Let's speak to Tom on the line. How are you, Tom?
Good. How are you doing, guys?
Not bad. What made you call tonight, Tom?
I think you'd alluded to it a few minutes ago, but just in relation to McCowan for Celtic, any time he's had a chance to come in and play, he's done incredibly well, I feel. And after the weekend's performance, I just wanted to see what you guys think about him staying in the team longer term.
I'll go first since I mentioned him. I don't think he'll get in longer term right now, but I think there's better players ahead of him. I think he's a really good squad player, and when he's called upon, he's obviously willing. He must be training really well. The manager believes in him. That's why he's brought him to Celtic. He's coming in, he's not letting his players down, he's not letting the supporters down. He's coming in, just getting on about his business and doing really well. So I think he's a really good squad player at the moment, and maybe further down the line he may be a starter.
It's very, very difficult, isn't it? You know, I would imagine going to Pittodrie, as you say, Brendan Rodgers will go back to what we think looks like his first choice team, which would be Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate and Arnie Ingles in that midfield.
Really? Well, no Paulo Bernardo either?
Again, listen, Bernardo, you know, as Tom's saying about McCowan, you could make the same argument for Bernardo, who I think is playing terrifically well any time you see him, either when he starts or when he comes off the bench. But I think the fact that it was Bernardo and McCowan on Saturday would probably lead you to believe it's going to be Hatate and Ingles on Wednesday night. But listen, Brendan could pull off a shock, and if he does make a surprise selection, I don't think Celtic will be materially weaker for that surprise selection. It just shows the strength and depth that they've got. People wondered why they were signing Luke McCowan in transfer deadline day, but he's already showing far, far more for Celtic than the likes of Tomoki Iwata or Kwon, or, you know, Odin Thiago Holm, the guys who were there before. He has shown it was a very astute signing by Celtic. He's always wanted to play for the club, and he's taking his chance now.
Tom, here is the thing, though. I mean, who do you leave out? How do you get around it?
Frankly, at the moment, I'd be leaving Hatate and Ingles out. I thought Bernardo and McCowan were brilliant. Obviously, compared to Bruges midweek, lesser in terms of quality of opponent, but I think they need to be given a shot when the other guys aren't doing the job, to be honest with you.
I thought, again, well, go back to the Bruges game. I thought Bruges were excellent. I watched the game, I thought their midfield, even when they didn't have the ball, they would drop into a back five. I thought their captain middle of the pitch was excellent. If they were right on top of McGregor, couldn't really control the game. I thought Celtic's midfield that night had a hard night. But I wouldn't be excluding them. I'll go back to the Premier League in Scotland, where it's not as good a calibre of players they're playing against week in, week out. And as Roger says, the strength and depth of the Celtic squad right now, it's really, really strong. And I think you'll go back to Hatate and Ingles as well. They've been the number one players all season. And it's Pittodrie, that's one of their biggest and hardest games of the season. Aberdeen went to Parkhead, get a 2-2 draw, so it's a real tough game. Aberdeen have been brilliant this year, and I think he'll go back to his strongest 11.
And listen, it wouldn't surprise me if Ingles and Hatate start, and he changes it after an hour, and McCowan and Bernardo come on and see the game out. You know, that's the beauty of having such a strong squad.
What's impressed you most about McCowan, Tom, because I feel like over the years, right, you'll have seen it loads of times where players come from the so-called smaller Scottish clubs, they go to the big clubs, and then that can work two ways, can't it? Because there's a logic, which is fairly simple, that we are playing with better players, so you should look better. But for loads of them, that doesn't happen because it's a different type of pressure, a different type of expectation, a different style, and it just doesn't quite click that way. Why is it clicking for him, do you think?
Not entirely sure. I mean, I can honestly say I wasn't overly aware of him at his previous clubs, but I'm surprised he wasn't snapped up quicker, given the age he is and how good he's been since he's come in. It may well be players around him, but he certainly exudes confidence in this team, and a lot of the time, I think he's head and shoulders above the other players. So, defensively, going forward, energy, everything, I suppose everything Brendan Rodgers looks for in a player. And some of the play the weekend was unbelievable. I think he's been brilliant every time he's come in.
You'll know Brian, having played against him over the years, though, I suppose he has been a late bloomer. That, you know, that's part of the story. You know, Tom saying surprised no one's picked him up before now. It's just been a career that has steadily improved.
He's just a level-headed young guy. Like when we used to play against him, you knew he was every time. He never really done anything wrong. Sometimes he didn't do it spectacular either, but everything he did was correct, and the way mannerly went about his business was very good. He was in the league when he played them in the championship when Dundee won the league. Fantastic player. And also his partner in crime, the wee boy Cameron, was excellent. The two of them as a partnership were brilliant together, and he deserves his move. And I know it came late in the window, but he's into Celtic and he just carried on as if he's still a Dundee player. He's not really thinking, oh, I'm at Celtic. You know what, I think a lot of people when they go to Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, maybe potentially Hibs, oh, I've made it, I'm at a big club, and he carried away. He's not done that. He's went in, just carried about his business, kept his head down, worked extremely hard, and when he's got opportunities, he's taken them.
But do you think the thing that helps him is, you know, he is 26 now, he's not, you know, you see a lot of these young guys go into the Old Firm at 20 or 21, and it's a lot on their shoulders, and it is too much for a lot of them. You know, Luke McCown, I remember him early, he was a wide player, and he was fine, and he went to Dundee, and he was okay. And as you say, it was only really when he came into that three in the midfield with Cameron and a Holder, suddenly he seemed to find his position. Suddenly he seemed to blossom. And you know, he's continued in a three at Celtic, and he's handled it really well.
No, he's been brilliant at it, Roger. And the other one was Boateng. He was on loan from
Crystal Palace
at Crystal Palace at the time. And their three in the midfield, they were excellent. Rotations, way they kept the ball at times, and that's why Dundee won the league that year. And then when he came into the Premier League, he just carried on his form from the Championship, got his big move. And maybe at 26 years of age, he's matured a little bit. He's not maybe a 21, 20 year old getting that big move and getting carried away with himself. So no, fair play to the kid and good luck to him.
John is on the other line. Let's thank Tom for a good point well made in Canvas Lang. What about John in Port Glasgow? How are you, John?
Good evening, guys. Roger and Brian.
Hey, John.
Hi. It's just fitba. I feel sorry for you guys because you're only getting a winter break either.
Oh, come on, John. This is not a real job, John. You don't need to feel sorry for us.
But listen, Gordon, talking ahead of the show, I wasn't all the time and all that, and the football on Saturday is, I don't know if Brian mentioned, but you can only beat who's in front of you as well, no? But teams know how to set their stalls out against Celtic, and you were talking about the Champions League game on Wednesday night, Brian especially, Bruges were well organised. They knew how to play us, they stifled us. It looked as if there was 13 players on that park at one time, Brian.
Sorry, on you go.
Celtic were chasing shadows, Brian.
I would agree with you.
I'll come back to you.
I thought the number 9, the striker for Bruges, was absolutely outstanding. I thought Carter Vickers, maybe that own goal came from that because he didn't know where to go tight, he didn't know where to drop off, he kept getting caught in no man's land in that first half performance. And when he scored his the goal to make it 2-1, obviously get called off for offside, I was saying that boy deserves that goal because I thought he was absolutely outstanding. Carter Vickers obviously came on to a better game second half, but as you said, Bruges were excellent. The way they went about their business, the way they were getting about the pitch, the way they looked after the ball, how quick they were counter-attacking Celtic, they were a fantastic side. Clearly didn't get that against Ross County, but it was a hard evening for Celtic. And by the way, maybe in years gone by, they would have lost that game in the Champions League.
I agree, and I think, you know, if you think back to the two previous games, how good Celtic were against Leipzig, how good Celtic were in Bergamo against Atalanta, this was almost like reverting to what the Champions League's like. You know, the previous two games, Celtic made the Champions League look quite easy. And I think all the supporters, and listen, a lot of the pundits, myself included, expected Celtic to go and win the game. And I think we were probably a wee bit naive. I think everyone got carried away by how good Celtic were against RB Leipzig. And listen, it's a kind of resulting performance you're allowed to get carried away about. But Bruges was just a reminder of the quality in the competition. And I think at the end of the day, it's a very good point for Celtic because it keeps them above Bruges. It was a point that gets them a little bit closer to the aim of getting into that last 24. And you look at the next couple of games against Zagreb and at home to Young Boys, who have still to pick up a point. I think Celtic will get through.
John, yeah, I think so. Everybody knows that the expectation is that Celtic beat Ross County, beat them comfortably, but sometimes when you make six changes, it just doesn't quite work out. How pleasing was it to see that kind of seamless nature to it all at the weekend with those changes?
The thing made a great point, because the six, I think they made about six changes, Brian, against Falkirk in the League Cup.
Yep, I think it was eight that day, was it?
Maybe eight changes. Okay, Falkirk are playing well. I don't know how they'll be in the Championship now, because I'm not following the Championship. But if you look at the changes, going back to the Wednesday night game, the three midfielders were poor, very poor. First time I've seen them as bad as that. And he brought in two. I named the team on Saturday, but the one you were talking about, Roger especially, about £1 million spent on young Luke McCown, I think it's the steal of the century, Roger, because the boy's got everything, the dynamics, he's got the legs, he's got an engine, he's got an eye for goal. He can push a team on. And Callum's doing that as well. But see, when you've got a boy like that in your team, alongside Bernardo, that gives Callum McGregor a bit of breathing space, because their two boys are younger than Callum. I think Callum's 30 now, Brian. 31 maybe. But he's still got them two boys either side of him. And he's enjoying it. And it made it look easy on Saturday. It could have been 12-9 on Saturday.
Yeah, but they two in beside McGregor. Obviously McGregor's very experienced, played a lot of football. With the two, with the legs in about him in the middle of the pitch, he can just sit there and anchor and let the two go about their business. Mm.
Thanks very much to John. What about the rest of you Celtic fans, which, again, so-called fringe players, gave Brendan Rodgers food for thought? Everyone's jumping on Luke McCown so far. Where is Paolo Bernardo in all of this? Where is Arne Ingles in the big game coming up, top of the table clash at the weekend? That's before you get to Alex Valle and Adam Ida and everyone else. What about yesterday, Rangers fans? How would you sum up the performance? Do the performances still matter? Are you happy with getting away with all 3 points from Perth? Let us know, and we'll hear from you on that game at McDermott Park when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
First scoreboard.
Partick Thistle's Brian Graham is here, so is Roger Hannah on 0141 951 1025, looking back on the weekend's action. So why not join in? We're about to hear from Philippe Clement. So Rangers fans, we asked you before the break, what did you make of the game yesterday? Quite a simple question, and I know on days like that you fall into a couple of different camps. Those who just think, away game, after Europe, 3 points down the road, no more questions asked. And others who would say it's still not convincing enough, still not enough control, not enough goal scoring chances, not enough goals scored, and it needs to get better. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. You can tell us. 0141 951 1025. Why not give us a call right now and give us your thoughts on that? What about you two? Who else the callers get their thoughts in?
But the weekend?
Yes.
Well, I said in the show on Saturday, Andrew asked me on Saturday what I'd thought about Rangers winning in Nice on Thursday night, and I said Rangers were absolutely terrific. I think you used the word superb. If you can score four goals away from home to decide fifth in Ligue 1, I said I hadn't lost at home in any competition all season, then that is a more than creditable result. But I expected them to get back to normality on Sunday, and they didn't let me down. It was slow, one-paced, lacked creativity, lacked imagination. Players who had excelled in Nice just went back to the way they perform week in, week out domestically. Needed an own goal to win the game for Rangers. And they weren't exactly cutting St Johnstone open from time to time, were they? So they are the classic football enigma. And Philip Clement must just wish the SPFL would change the rules and he could play all their games on a Thursday night.
Listen, it was a TV game, obviously, and it wasn't the one for the watching, because you could have watched paint dry. It was rubbish. It was just terrible. I thought Barron's been probably one of Rangers' better players this year. I thought he gave the ball away too many times, especially in the first half. I thought John Souter, centre defender, was probably their best player. The goal they get, it's not their centre forward that's in the box, it's not their right winger that's in the box, it's their captain and right back, James Tavernier, that's putting Holt under pressure to score the own goal. He's been through a bit of a torrid season himself, but he gets in there and makes the boy make the mistake, and they get the 3 points. I know it was coming back from that great victory they got on the Thursday night, but I thought Sunday's performance wasn't good enough.
Well, what did you think though, Rangers fans? That's what matters most. No offence to Roger or Brian. Philippe Clement was happy with the display. He says they should have scored more and killed the game off.
That it was a good performance. Today, only thing we missed is to score second, third or fourth goal to finish off the game earlier and to kill the belief with the opponent. What we did well against Nice, but we have to say also was a really good goalkeeper on the other side. It's a little bit annoying from my side because it's a few weeks that I had to repeat that way, but that's part of football, that apparently goalkeepers against us, they play their game of their season. And that was the case because a few really good finishes and actions, but he kept his team in the game. At the end, it's also crucial to not concede chances, so we have, for the second time in a row, only one shot on target from the opponent. Last week it was goal, now not. And we need to continue in that way, keeping clean sheets and being defensively strong. And I don't speak only about defence, it's all team working hard for that. So I'll see a lot of improvements with all the squads in what they are doing.
Thomas is on the line. What did you make of it, Thomas?
Absolutely woeful. And for the umpteenth time this season and towards the end of last season, I heard you saying, Gordon, that it's all about the 3 points and does the performance not matter? See if you're playing see if you're playing Aberdeen or Celtic, maybe one of the top European teams, yeah, it's all about the result, absolutely. See, when you're playing, with all due respect to St Johnstone, Dundee United, Ross County, etc., you're looking for a performance. You know, it's the same as if Real Madrid were to play Rangers. Would they honestly be looking just for a result, or would they be putting on a performance? Well, it's a wee bit similar when you compare budgets. I know, Phillips, every Rangers manager compares their budget to the top European teams, but let's take it to St Johnstone, Hearts, Ross County, these teams. We've still got a way better budget than they have, and that team really can hardly string three passes together. The midfield doesn't talk to the front line. The front line don't talk to each other. It's painful to watch week after week.
I mean, is it that simple, Roger? Because we spoke about it on Friday. For years now, over multiple managers with multiple different sets of players, it's been teams sit back in Scotland, so that's harder to break down. Teams open up in Europe and Rangers enjoy it more. Is that it? Is it that simple?
But it's getting worse. I mean, Rangers won yesterday, got the 3 points. Rangers scored as many away goals in the first half in Nice as they've scored away from home in the entire Premiership season this season. Hibs, we laugh at Hibs in this show, Gordon, all season. Hibs have scored as many goals as Rangers in the league. Rangers have scored fewer goals than St Mirren, they've scored fewer goals than Dundee United, they've scored five fewer goals than Dundee. I think I heard Ian Crocker in Sky yesterday saying Rangers games in the Premiership this season have produced fewer goals than any other team's games. Now, part of that's because they don't lose a lot of goals. I think they've only lost 9 goals in their 13 games this season. But for Rangers to have 13 league games and only scored 18 league goals is absolutely remarkable. And for Philip Clement to say we're only waiting for the second, third or fourth, what does he mean? The fourth away goal of the season? Is that what he means?
Go back to it. It's not as if they were creating chance after chance. And the saves Clement's talking about there, they were from distance. I would expect my goalkeeper to save them.
I was a bit surprised at that comment like, we've done this before, like I said, no point in over-analysing and battering Fleet Clement for every comment, but I didn't think the St Johnstone keeper played out his skin yesterday, because when he heard it, I thought, well, maybe I've remembered the game wrong, and I was thinking, what were the saves he made that you would go, oh, that was out the top drawer, or as the phrase goes, a save that you wouldn't expect him to make? Yeah. And I genuinely, is it just me? I couldn't remember any. What was his best save?
One just before half time,
the one down low.
Yeah, the tee's right, pushed it around the post. But again, that's one of those that goes into the category. If he lets that in, there's a question mark about him.
No, yeah, definitely.
I mean, Thomas, what is that then? Is it just this thing, like I keep saying, it's just a different style and it's teams are more defensive and that's automatically harder? Is that it?
Different style. Gordon, that assumes that we're playing with a certain style. We're playing with no style, as I said. There's a total lack of communication. Roger actually stole my thunder there. Every weekend on my football chats, you're getting the various statistics, all of which are negative. The worst this, the lowest that. And that was the one that came to light at the weekend that's going the rounds, that of all the Premier League games in Scotland, Rangers games have the fewest amount of goals.
Yeah.
That's a damning statistic. An absolutely damning statistic.
Yeah, were you, Thomas, what did you make of Thursday then? Did you always sort of not hold back your celebrations, but did you take it with a pinch of salt because you thought this would happen on Sunday? I mean, there was a lot of excitement about some of the attacking play, and Egerman has got to be the guy to carry the attack forward, and, you know, a lot of sort of excitement for some fans. Did that fall away yesterday, or were you never one that got that excited anyway?
There was a pinch of salt to the midweek game against Nice, because I thought we would lose that game. I didn't expect Nice to be so bad, and I don't know the guy's name, but the number 8, I've never seen a more abject performance from a player. He wanted the ground to open up and swallow him. You know, we were lucky we caught Nice on a very bad day. But yes, we did play well against a very poor team, and there seemed to be a bit more communication, but it's not consistent enough.
But Thomas, so you're saying that Nice were bad. I thought St Johnstone were really bad yesterday, and they didn't go and score more than one goal against them. You've got to praise them for the Thursday night's result in Europe. That was a fantastic result. But the bread and butter is the league. They need to be challenging Celtic more. They need to try and catch Aberdeen. Yesterday, I thought the ball, once they got into the final third, they were so slow, pedestrian, very wasteful on the ball. Rangers, or Glasgow Rangers, they need to be way better than that.
There's no urgency to the performances. You know, you've seen in years gone past, and Thomas will remember this, you know, in years gone past, Rangers will go to Perth or Tannadice or whatever, and they don't have it their own way. But there's always more of an urgency. You know, if the game's 0-0 after 55 or 60 minutes, there's more of an urgency, there's a pace, there's a realisation by the Rangers players that they need to go and win this game, and they might need to go and win it by 2 or 3 goals. You know,
Roger, you go back to St Johnstone, it's not as if they kept trying to play the channel ball and got to play seconds. Mm-hmm. They kept trying to play little triangles in their own half. Yeah. There was no urgency, there was no pressure from Rangers players to go, right, there's a trigger, let's go and press the ball, let's go and steal it high up, let's now go and get it and score a goal. There was none of that yesterday. Yeah.
What about Alan, who's on the other line? Thank you to Thomas. Alan, what did you make of it?
I disagree with Thomas slightly. I get what he's saying. I thought yesterday was a slightly better performance than which we've had in the league for weeks. But then I'm on chats as well, and the manager was getting it tight yesterday again. And I'm not going to defend the manager, but how can you play on Thursday night in the team's face? And yes, Nice defensively were poor, but they were in their face, so everything was quick. It's the same players yesterday that's now then slowing it down again. So how's that the manager's fault?
Well, listen, Brian's maybe better. Brian's been in more dressing rooms than I have, but it's the manager's fault because the manager isn't demanding more of them. There was a game, I'm trying to think where Celtic were a couple of weeks ago. I'll tell you where they were, a Saturday night game at Tynecastle, and Hearts had performed really well at half-time. Celtic came out in the second half and blew them away with 4 goals. And after the game, Brendan Rodgers explained that the press wasn't right. They weren't doing, as Brian mentioned, the triggers weren't quite the way they should have been. They weren't getting into Hearts, and he had to tweak a little thing in the middle of the park. He brought another player into a central area. He managed to get more of the ball, and Celtic played the way they can with the urgency. They got the press right and they battered Hearts. At 0-0 yesterday at Perth, when Rangers came out, you expected some kind of reaction because you expected Philip Clement to have got in about them at half-time and sorted the things that were wrong in the first half, and he just didn't. And that lack of urgency, the lack of creativity, the lack of imagination that was so evident in the first half and has been so evident in many Rangers performances this season, it wasn't changed. And you just wonder, if Jason Holt hadn't scored that own goal, where were Rangers going to get a goal from, Alan?
The forward line is the problem at the moment. I totally agree. And he's trying everybody. I thought Hadji made a bigger difference yesterday, getting into spaces. But I don't know, did we get to January and hopefully get somebody else in? By the way, I came on your show 6-7 months ago when he was the top goal scorer. Shankland, isn't he, for me, as a Rangers player? No chance.
Look, we're used to this. There's not loads of positives for Rangers fans phoning up about, was Hadji one? Can you at least see... Does he bring something different, Brian, to at least some of those other midfielders in that area?
Well, I think we spoke about Luke McCown earlier, going about his business, working hard, extremely hard to get into a Celtic team. Look at what Hadji's went through, his contract situation. He's had to try and keep himself fit, knowing he couldn't play because of contract issues, but now he's sorted that out. Now he's back in the team. Probably takes him a couple of weeks to get back to that match fitness, and then you'll see the benefit of a real fit Hadji, because he's a top player. And then he might give them that extra spark. But once you create those chances, you need somebody at the top end of the pitch who's going to take them.
Good man, Alan. Thank you for calling us tonight. What about the rest of you out there? That's a bit of a split there. First caller, woeful performance. Alan actually thinks it's not necessarily as bad as that. So what did you think? Yanis Hadji, is he worth a wee run in the team from the start? Let us know. Whilst I tell you about something that I am absolutely certain a lot of you will be interested in.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
Now, if you've been living under a rock, you might not have heard that Celtic take on Rangers in the Premier Sports Cup final at Hampden on the 15th of December. You could be there thanks to Cash for Kids. We have got a pair of VIP silver debenture tickets for Celtic and Rangers ends with lounge access in the main stand. All you need to do is enter a raffle with all the money going to Cash for Kids as part of Mission Christmas. So you can have a ticket for one of the biggest games of the year whilst helping disadvantaged children right here in Glasgow in the West. Talk about a win-win. For your chance to win two tickets, all you need to do is text Celtic to 84901, or, you guessed it, Rangers to 84901 before 8 p.m. on Thursday the 12th of December. So if you're a Celtic supporter, text Celtic to 84901. If you're a Rangers supporter, it's Rangers to 84901. Now, the text costs one standard network rate message plus a £10 donation to Cash for Kids. Every penny of that, 100% of that, goes straight back to children on our doorstep that need your help. So you've done your bit for charity, you've given your tenner to children that need your help, and then you might end up with VIP silver debenture tickets to the cup final. Like I say, an absolute win-win. You must be over 18. T's and C's. Go to the Cash for Kids page at Clyde1.com. That's Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901. Do it now. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham is here and Roger Hanna as well. 0141 951 1025. We are looking back on the weekend's action, so anything you want to get over to us, why not jump on board and let us know. You can get in touch on the phones or Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. Shannon said was a bit worried when McCown came in, knowing how much he loved the club. He could easily have not lived up to playing for Celtic. He's been excellent every minute, living every Celtic supporter's dream, and deserves more game time. How'd you get more game time in amongst all that competition? Yeah. It's going to be a nice challenge, isn't it? I would say a nice problem to have. Is that what managers always say?
Yeah, if you've got five players like that looking for the three positions, a good challenge to have, good problem to have. Ida, great goal again at the weekend. I know Brian gave his goal in the weekend to Callum McGregor. I like Adam Ida's goal. He took his chance. I thought he was very self-effacing when he spoke in the eve of the game about not hitting the heights they had hit when he was alone in the second half of last season, having to present more of a challenge to Kyogo for that regular place. And then you've got the wide guys. You would say Nicholas Kuhn, probably front runner for player of the year this season. Dyson Maeda does what Dyson Maeda does, and then you've got Yang and Forrest to come off the bench.
I see this sort of, I don't even think it's a debate as such, Brian, but I see this bubbling away on social media this weekend where Brendan Rodgers says after it, you know, sort of along the lines of, look how far we've come because we got booed off against Ross County last season. Lots of rival fans say, oh yeah, well, it's a real fairy tale, isn't it? You were the champions, you spent 25 million, now you can beat Ross County, whoop de doo. And then the Celtic fans get all upset and say, well, what do you want us to do? You can only beat what's in front of you, and we earned this money, we sold Matt O'Reilly and we got in the Champions League, and kind of round and round we go. For us to cut through that though, is it quite ominous for everyone where six changes can be made, you can be back off Europa League, and you know it's 5-0 after 40 minutes. Does that show that Celtic are really at the kind of best version of themselves at the moment?
Of course it does. I think when one of my first shows I said that Brendan Rodgers would got undefeated this season. I stand by that. Okay. I just believe Celtic how strong they are.
His predictions, that's fine.
Yeah, they're so strong. Good. And got to back yourself, Gordon.
That's exactly, because Hugh Keevans usually gets his predictions wrong within a week, so it's good that yours have at least lasted a couple of months so far.
I was scared of, I think it was the Ross County game up there where I was a wee bit shaky, but I got away with it. But the first time Rodgers was here, he dominated Scottish football. He came back under a cloud. He's now seen the sun through the clouds, and the Celtic fans are starting to get back on board fully with Brendan Rodgers. They're in a club that's in a really good place financially, on the field and off the field, and they're just pushing. They've got the cup final to look forward to against Rangers. Be a big hurdle. Listen, anything can happen in the cup final. I don't care how bad Rangers are playing at the moment. Anything can happen in that game. If he can get that one out of the way, then that's him on his way to a treble again. He dominated Scottish football the last time. He's going to do it again, because I just don't feel Rangers right now are anywhere near it. Aberdeen is the closest challenge to them, Celtic at the moment, but having said that, I still believe Rangers will finish second.
Well, let's ask Adam and Giffnock for his thoughts, because he's on the line. How's it going, Adam?
Hi, I'm going okay. Listen, guys, I've got multiple sclerosis and I sort of fumbled up my words, so I'll just put my point out there and you guys can discuss it if that's okay.
Don't you worry, you take your time, we're all ears.
Hey, and I've got one more thing to say after that, if that's possible, but the first thing I wanted to say was that I think we are witnessing the downfall of Rangers. I don't think people are talking about it, because everyone keeps saying Rangers need to be a force, Celtic need to be a force. I don't really think anyone needs to be a force. I think you've had your time and it's time to, you know, cut your cloth to suit, which I don't think they're doing, and that's going to be at the detriment to them.
I mean, Roger, is it as bad as that?
It's a big statement. They're not in a good place just now on the field. But they've only won one league title in 13 years, so this isn't a sudden thing. The team is operating in the shadow of Celtic financially off the field, and it's operating in the shadow of Celtic in terms of football on the field. They're 11 points behind Celtic after just 13 games this season. Philip Clement, performances domestically are not nearly good enough. I think ultimately it'll probably cost him his job. Might not be this year, might be into 2025 before that happens. They will bring in another manager. They will back another manager. There's a new chief executive coming in. There's a new chairman coming in. You know, it's a new regime almost, if you like, at Rangers. It'll be fascinating to see how much they can commit to giving to a new manager to try and lead the fight back against Celtic. But at the minute, the biggest fight for Rangers is to overhaul Aberdeen and get back into second place.
I know where Adam is coming from up to a point, Brian, because Celtic are really strong and Celtic look like they're moving off into the distance and they've got a lot more money than Rangers. But at the same time, even at that, Rangers still have the resources. I know there's a lot made about losses and all that stuff, and it's valid, but Rangers still have the resources to be miles ahead of everyone else. Even if they're miles behind Celtic, if they do it properly, they should still be miles in front of everyone else.
Yeah, they should be, but they're not.
That's what I mean. So now, fine, but I'm talking about this notion that this is like a downfall, and this you know, this is the start of a spiral, and actually they're only going to get worse, and this is like the end of any sort of, you know, Rangers being one of the top two clubs in the country as we know it. I don't know. I'll go back that far.
Look, when they took all the big hitters off the wage bill, Rangers were restructuring. It was clear as day they had to get the big hitters off the wage bill to then try a rebuild. That's going to happen this year. There's been dips in form. Of course there has. They've had new players in. They've not really gelled. They've not clicked. Whereas Celtic, on the other hand, have clicked and they're flying on all cylinders. Like, Rangers are going to take time to get back to really challenging Celtic. Rangers fans obviously still see Glasgow Rangers as this big, massive football club, which they are, but they want results now. But it's going to take time to get back there, unfortunately.
What else do you have for us, Adam?
wanted to say this. I wanted to speak to Roger Hannah, if that was okay.
Hi, Adam.
Roger, I wanted to ask if you've ever thought about lending your voice to audiobooks, because your voice is fantastic. I love it.
Honest,
that's very kind of you to say that, Adam. No, I hadn't thought of that.
Sorry to interrupt, but doing this job for as long as you do, you sometimes get a wee sense, and Adam had me going there. I was almost certain that was going to be something insulting. I was ready for it.
No.
I really was, and he's gone and handed you a compliment.
There you are. You don't get many of them.
One more thing, if that's possible.
Right, here's the insult. Go on.
I just wanted to speak like Roger Hanna on Clyde SSP. Thank you very much for making me very happy.
Adam, you're a good man. Adam and Giffrock, you too. It's the first Merry Christmas of the season as well. Are we allowed that in December? Go on then. Why not? Merry Christmas. That sticks in my throat. That I act like a 5-year-old. So my birthday's early in December, and I say that you're not allowed to celebrate it until it mines out the way. But I'll let Adam away with it. Anyway, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. TheScottishSun.co.uk/football.
Just before we go any further, if anyone wants to tweet me your suggestions about which audiobook Roger Hannah should record his version of, we are here. We could make it happen.
We know that. It's Encyclopedia of World Football that Mrs. Halliday kindly gave me as my Christmas present last week.
I thought you were going to say you would be willing to voice Gordon DL's autobiography, which you'll help him write, but the thought of having to say some of those words out loud.
No.
You couldn't do that to yourself, could you?
Absolutely. Can you imagine the audio version of that?
Incredible. Oh. But anyway, what could the audiobook give us your thoughts? And we'll play Beat the Pundit in the meantime. 01419511025. It's your chance to win a signed ball, but only if you can get past Brian Graham or Roger Hanna. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Brian Graham are here. 01419511025. Roger's just spent the break looking at all the offers flooding in for him to voice some audiobooks, following on from the previous caller. Our colleague David Friel says, what about 50 Shades of David Grey? Can we see that? That'd be a bestseller just in time for Christmas.
There you go. If he's still on a job at Christmas. Now he's doing okay this week. 6 goals, 4 points.
Mother will always look after you if you need a result, believe me. And Stookie says, same as the last caller, I would listen to anything that Roger had on audiobooks. Luckily for all of you, we've got more important business to take care of. Let's continue to look back on the weekend's action. Celtic fans, how impressed were you with the 6 changes and how it didn't impact things? Have any of those players really forced their way into Brendan Rodgers' thinking for the big game coming up, a top of the table clash at the weekend? Rangers fans, points, performances, where's the balance between those after yesterday? What did you make of that game up there in Perth? St Mirren fans, I noticed tonight you have chosen to appeal Marcus Fraser's red card. A decision that Roger Hanna said at the start of the show he thought was the right one.
How does that work? Is it not 2 yellows?
Why not take it ended up a straight red? That's the point. It did.
Okay.
Why not take him to task on 01419511025? Hibs fans, is that you looking up the way now, or still work to be done? Motherwell fans, where's it going wrong? Plenty of time left. Give us a call. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. TheScottishSun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see how we fare tonight. Roger Hanna, as always, flying high. He's not lost yet, even though we start him on -2. We're trying our best, but it's still not happened yet.
-1 for Christmas.
Absolutely not. Brian Graham had a bit. You had a controversial one, or so you think.
Yeah.
Last time he was on. Which means you've apparently got a 3-1
record.
Yeah, I've lost one. Okay, 75%. Just try and listen to the questions this time. That's my advice. Rather than blaming me. Anyway, let's meet tonight's contestant, who's Robbie in Fife. How's it going, Robbie?
I'm fine. Yourself, mate?
Extra pressure on you tonight, Robbie. Are you aware of this?
No.
Right, so thanks to the team at Cairnhill Steel Structures, during Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, £10 for every answer you get right goes to Cash for Kids. So you've got the bragging rights, the signed ball, but potentially a bit of money to charity as well. Don't make that put any pressure on you, alright?
Hopefully I just get some right to get some money for the kids.
Listen, it's a nice byproduct of it all. We're having a bit of fun anyway. So Robbie, what we do here is toss the coin, and because it's festive, we've got the chocolate coin. It is the same on both sides, so I had to put a big H and improvise. I think I will eat this before December is out, though. Every night I come in, I look at it and I'm like, I could go that right now. So it's the 2nd of December. We'll see how long we last. Heads, it's Roger Hanna -2. Tails, it's Brian Graham. How would you look at that? It's the heads. Ooh. See it with the big H written right on it in pen. We've got Roger Hanna up against Robbie from Fife. So what we do here is give Roger something else to listen to, one of his own audiobooks perhaps, and we get your clock ready, Robbie. It's quite simple. You've got 30 seconds to answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer, and we'll see how we get on from there, okay?
Okay, perfect.
Right, 30 seconds then, going on the clock, and your time starts now. Who scored twice for Rangers against Nice?
Agumon.
Who did Hearts play in the Conference League last week?
Club Bruges.
Who's got the lowest stadium capacity in the top flight, Ross County or St Mirren?
Ross County.
Which club formed in the 90s won the Scottish Cup in 2015?
Gretna.
Name any of the three keepers yet to keep a clean sheet in the top flight this season.
Pass.
Who were the last non-Old Firm team to win the Scottish top flight?
Aberdeen.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna starts on -2. No audiobooks over there.
No, just it's radio. Just ABBA. Very good.
I'd rather listen to Dancing Queen than one of your audiobooks, yeah. I have to say. You ready?
Go for it.
30 seconds on your clock, and your time starts now. Who scored twice for Rangers against Nice?
Hey, come on.
Who did Hearts play in the Conference League last week?
Cercle Bruges.
Who's got the lowest stadium capacity in the top flight, Ross County or St Mirren?
Ross County.
Which club, formed in the 90s, won the Scottish Cup in 2015?
Cali Thistle.
Name any of the three keepers who are yet to keep a clean sheet in the top flight this season.
Joshua.
Who were the last non-Old Firm team to win the Scottish top flight?
Aberdeen.
Okay, okay. Robbie, he starts on -2. What do you think?
I think it might go to a tiebreaker.
Oh, Robbie's counted them up. I hope he's right. Let's find out. Who scored for Rangers twice against Nice? It was Hamza Egeman. You both got it. Roger Hanna continues to trail by 2. This was the one that I was so frustrated with, because I think it might have got away from Robbie. Robbie said Club Bruges. He was the right city. Yeah. It's Cercle Bruges. Celtic played Club Bruges. What did you tell me about Cercle Bruges?
Sacked the manager today.
So even beating Hearts, just not
beating
enough.
Beating Hearts and beating Kilmarnock, doing okay in the Conference League, not enough. I think there's relegation problems.
There you go. Cercle Bruges, Roger pulls within 1. The lowest stadium capacity out of Ross County or St Mirren is Ross County. You both got it. So Roger stays 1 behind. Which club formed in the 90s won the Scottish Cup in 2015? The thing is, Robbie, I could see your thinking here, but it was just off, because Gretna didn't win it. They got to the final, but they didn't win it, and it was a few years before. So it's Inverness Cali Thistle, which means Roger Hanna is level. I'll tell you what, fair play to the producers, because I think they've made them easy enough that we get some money to cash for kids. We're already on, what are we on, 20 quid to cash for kids. This next one's brutal, I think. Really good question. Name any of the three keepers still to keep a clean sheet in the top flight this season. The reason most of them are on this list is because they've hardly played. Ross Doohan, who came on for
half a game
Aberdeen at the weekend. Uh-huh. Kieran O'Hara.
Yeah, Kelly.
Of Kelly, who's barely played. The one who's played the most, though, John McCracken.
Of indeed.
Has not kept a clean sheet yet, but everybody else has. Just on that, if any Aberdeens want to phone, if Dimitar Mitov's out for a while, I mean, that Ross Doohan looked good enough when he came on, but Mitov's top, isn't he?
Yeah.
It could be a big blow.
That would be a setback.
So we're still level, is that right? Who was the last non-Old Firm team to win the Scottish top flight, Aberdeen, in the 84-85 season, which means
we are onto a tiebreaker,
wow. Robbie. And 30 quid to cash for kids into the bargain. So we've done well so far. Right. Okay. Here's the deal on the tiebreaker. I read the question, I'll get Roger to write his answer down, I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Robbie, okay?
Perfect.
I have no idea how you would go about this, but anyway, good luck to you both. How many major trophies have been won by Scottish clubs combined, excluding Celtic and Rangers? How many major trophies have been won by Scottish clubs combined, excluding Celtic and Rangers?
Right, by major trophies, does that include like European, just generally major trophies?
No, just like, so leagues, Scottish leagues, Scottish cups, league cups.
Oh, right, okay.
No, right, so have a guess, write it down, Robbie, what are you thinking? Oh, in fact, give me a sec, right, go on, Robbie.
55.
65, says Robbie. 42, says Roger Hanna. Right, let's try and work this out together. How many years has the league been on the go? What?
150.
Right, so how many have Celtic won?
Well, the Rangers have got 55, yeah. Celtic have got 54.
Right, so that's what, 100?
I mean, you think about it like that. Yeah.
Then add in all the cups, add in the leagues.
Big figure.
It's 112.
Oh, wow. Well done, Robbie.
We've finally done him. We've done him in the minus two, Robbie. Congratulations. He has been beaten, finally.
Did you tell Robbie at the start all the questions he got wrong? He needs to put a tenner in himself.
Into your pocket.
No, just cash for kids.
Robbie, seriously. There are about four people on this earth who've ever beaten Roger Hanna at Beat the Pundit. Yes, it took a handicap of minus two, but that's not the point, Robbie. You don't need to tell MD that. You've beaten him, and the sign ball is on its way
to five.
Well
done, Robbie. I'm now retiring to record audiobooks.
Well done, Robbie.
I wanted Roger tonight, like, I wanted to give him his first defeat.
You are son, Robbie. And Robbie, a Rangers fan as well, so you've not had a lot to cheer recently, but that must do the business, surely.
Well, at least I'm doing my bit.
What did you make of the game yesterday while we're at it?
I watched the full game in the house, but it's getting really boring now. I'm no behind the manager. I've not been for a long time. I kind of lost belief in him when he said about the moral victory at Ibrox for the 3-3.
Oh, well, it was a while ago.
But whatever comes here, I just think that we've just got to bite our tongue with this season. Hopefully Patrick Stewart comes in and sorts the club out. But I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook, and it's like every weekend when somebody cheats on you and they take you out for a fancy meal on a Thursday.
That's the most impressive thing about your win tonight, Robbie. It's normally just a Thursday night you win.
Aye, I know.
I have seen that doing the rounds, I have to say. It's quite good. People are quick out there. What is the... And fair play to Robbie, because he's sort of like, on one hand, saying he's kind of done with it, or Scunnerdon thinks managerial change, you know, would be the right option, but at the same time is almost willing, if that's the right word, to just grin, bear it, get on, try and take this for what it is, and not be, you know, knee-jerk about it all. Rangers won at the weekend, so, you know, we keep, but what how do you view it over this next period then? So what, Dingwall, so Kilmarnock at home on Wednesday, Dingwall on Sunday, then how's this for a combo? Spurs and Celtic, all within the next 13 days, those fixtures.
Yeah, and then Celtic very quickly after that at Ibrox in the league as well on the 2nd of January. This is going to be the defining month for Philippe Clement. I think if he suffers three defeats in the month to Tottenham and Celtic twice, then his Rangers career will be done. If he beats Celtic and wins the League Cup, then he can continue at a pace. If he beats Celtic in the league and closes the gap, he can continue at a pace. But those are big ifs, because he hasn't beaten Celtic in any game in any competition so far. And, you know, as Robbie was saying, supporters, yes, they won yesterday, but supporters, you know, they can't be fooled by the performance and how poor the performances have been.
Thank you very much to Robbie. Enjoy the sign ball, Robbie. Congratulations again. He's already way at the pub shouting it from the dancing in the streets.
He's
of
in
Fife.
A local in Fife.
Right, 01419511025. That is the number that you need, so give us a call. We've got Paul on the line. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Not bad, Paul. You're a St Mirren fan, which means one thing surely, VAR on your mind. What did you make of those decisions at the weekend?
Well, the week prior, Red Gogic sent off straight red for jumping into a challenge where it was identified he got the ball when they used VAR correctly. Mm-hmm. Then 1 week later, we've got decision after decision. We've got VAR getting involved or not getting involved and not coming to the right decision. We've also had, there was other incidents in that game. Now, only three of them were highlighted. Then Richard Taylor was fouled in the box. There was a handball by the Dundee United player while he's pulling his jersey. and that wasn't even reviewed by VAR. So I don't understand why clubs are spending so much money to implement this and we're not using it when the time comes. I just don't understand why it's happening.
Just quickly on that, sometimes I think the language is important. We always hear this. Everything's looked at. I think what fans then sometimes mean is, oh, he didn't go to the monitor, so that means it's not been reviewed, or there's not a long stoppage. There's like hundreds of checks going all the time. And that's not to say it was the right call. I mean, I've seen the incident in question. What I would say on that is the referees made it quite clear at the start of the year that when you're doing that jostling in the box and if you're holding each other and a ball falls and then hits the arm, that's not going to be given as a handball. The shirt pull, however, maybe a different story. That's before we even get to the three big ones, if you like, that Paul will have on his mind for sure. St Mirren have appealed the Marcus Fraser red card. Right, let's start on that one then, because that's the last one. So Louis Moult, there's a ball over the top. Louis Moult kind of goes through, they're sort of tussling with each other, goes down, penalty given, yellow. But then after a VAR review, Matthew McDermott called to the screen. So remember, the rule is there, if you talk about it, used to be the double jeopardy sort of thing. If you commit that foul, deny an obvious goal scoring opportunity when there's no attempt made to play the ball, i.e. a pull, you'll get a straight red. You actually think that was the right call? Paul's obviously not in agreement with you.
I think they're both penalties. See, if I've been honest, I thought a yellow card was a fight. A yellow card was still a goal, I'm saying, off, because he's already been booked for the first penalty. I thought a red card, a straight red, was harsh. I thought they were both penalties. I thought they were both probably yellow cards, the way the game goes now, so you'd be sent off anyway. Are you going to ask me later about Jack Walton?
Yeah, let's deal with one at a time then, because Brian, I've seen various takes on the last one, and that some don't even think it's a foul.
No, I think Marcus tries to judge the ball bouncing. He tries to get in front of Louis Moult, and Louis Moult's too clever. He gets his body in the right position, feels the contact, goes down. Penalty kick for me all day as a centre forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wondered about the strikers' union there, Paul. I was never getting to agree on that one. Did you think the Dundee United keeper should have been sent off, Paul?
It wasn't the fact that he stopped the goal scoring opportunity, but he endangered the player. It's as simple as that. You know what I mean? He took Olasanya out at knee height. So he's just went straight through him, he's taken him out. And if that was Gogic on a Dundee United player, he'd be off. So I don't see how they could defend that.
Well, I said to you before we went on air, if that had been, I didn't mention, I like Gogic, Paul, I'd said, if that had been Declan Gallagher, if that had been an outfield Dundee United player taking Olasanya down at that height, he'd have been sent off. It somehow doesn't seem to apply for goalkeepers.
Brian, is that what it is? Because so is Paul knows his stuff, you know, your options there. Does it die an obvious goal scoring opportunity? You can get a straight red card for that. I think most people probably agree that it didn't, because it's by the corner flag almost, not quite, but in, is Olasanya getting on the end of the ball? All that sort of stuff.
Defender going to cover all
who
that?
Who knows? Is it serious foul play? Does it endanger an opponent? Is it excessive force? All that sort of stuff.
For me, it's excessive force. The pace that he comes out his goal at and the height that he catches him, it's a straight red all day. Goalkeepers do get special treatment at times, but that at the weekend for me was a straight red card. And I can't believe it wasn't.
What about the Roger Scott of theory? I mean, this obviously isn't in the rule book, so I'm not saying this makes it okay. Is there just something about when it's the goalies that they kind of get away with these, you know, coming out to clear a ball and misjudging it?
No, but they shouldn't.
No, that's what I just said. I know that, but do you know what I mean? Is that all it is? I'm not saying it's right.
I don't really know what it is, but even little ones, when the ball come for crosses, it's a slightest touch, but it's a foul. It's a contact sport. But that one at the weekend, he's came out, smashed him with the pace, excessive force, should have been a red card.
You're Willie Collins, pal. You'll know these things.
That we fell out. Because he told me he refused to overlook, he refused to have a look at Andy Halliday's handball.
Oh, so I thought it was because he kept wearing the same gear as you.
Nah.
St Mirren appealing Marcus Fraser's red card. Whatever happened to the compliance officer? Remember him?
Still there.
Is he able to look again at Jack Walton and prosecute for a red card?
Would you like that?
No, no. I'm just asking the question because he seems to be winning the Hamden hide-and-seek contest at the moment.
Technically, yes, but I suppose the thought process now would be that with VAR, you're reserving that for the extreme of the extreme.
Well, listen, the KMIs will be they will terrific on Friday.
They'll be, Paul,
when's your next show, Willie?
Ooh, good question, actually. Right. Don't have another date in it. I think we do have a date in the diary. I'll have to have
I'll a wee that'll be for your Christmas lunch or two, you will or not?
Yeah.
One date in the diary. Yeah.
Cut pigs and blankets. Maybe Willie. Paul, do you think you win the appeal?
No. Because the SFA never really. I mean, if they're seen to make a mistake, they just go with it rather than put their referees under the bus. So I don't think we'll win the appeal. I think we should, but I don't think the SFA will. I'll sanction it.
See, to be fair, and yeah, I know you're bound to say this because you dress the same as Willie Collum, but let's be fair for a second, that isn't really the way it works, because for a start, it's just a separate appeals panel.
Yeah.
And secondly, go on, I'll defend him for a minute. All we've had all season is firstly the KMI panel and Willie Collum being willing to come on here and on the VAR review and say, actually, I do think that's... So I don't think there is a reluctance to admit to mistakes.
In the week before, I was actually at the St Mirren game the week before against Aberdeen, Paul, and, listen, John Beaton's made a mistake. The speed with which Alec Gogic went into the tackle, you can see why he's made the mistake. But as you said it when you first came on, that's what VAR's for. And the VAR brought him back over to the screen. He had another look, and he downgraded it to a yellow card. That's how VAR should operate. I think... to give Marcus a straight red is probably a bit harsh.
But this is not. But we keep, the question really probably is: is it a foul? Because one should do that.
But Brian started. When he asked Brian about it, Brian said Marcus is trying to get to the ball, but Louis too cute for him. I think Marcus was trying to get to the ball, but if he wins his appeal, the best he's going to get is it downgraded to a yellow. He'll still miss the game at Motherwell.
What about the first
penalty?
You think that as well? Do you? I noticed the sports scene. Team thought night none of the decisions so were sure. Right last night.
I'm not so sure.
So that's the kind of Kevin Holt. It's a hard one, leg, and Marcus Fraser's alleged to have kicked the underside of his foot.
He goes for the ball. Big Holt, ex-teammate of mine. He probably knew it was coming. He's because he's no scoring for it. He's obviously just trying to get his studs onto the ball, and he's been very cute and clever, thinking right here we go. I can see the boot coming. So it's I see why
you don't
it's
have
given.
To be able to score for it to be a foul though.
No, I know, but he's just obviously dangled the carrot. For Marcus to come through and kick
he's
him.
Nibbled it.
Yeah, he's nibbled it.
Rudolph. Rudolph. Right, thanks to Paul. I think we agreed on some stuff in there, Paul. There was so much to get through, but we appreciate you taking the time. 01419511025. We'll be back after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham is here. Fair play to him. Hard taking the penalty shootout at the weekend. He's picked himself up. He's come in here. I don't see you overlooked for Manager of the Year in the SWPL at the weekend as well.
Yeah,
you've had some weekend.
So I just stayed at Hampden at the event. The doors opened at 6 o'clock, so I had to just I took my suit with me, got ready in the changing room, and
did
then walked
upstairs.
It was just that was the way it was. But the time I got upstairs after extra time, everybody was there ready for a
That's
big
a good
night
point.
Out. I was absolutely knackered.
Tell you what, his face must have been tripping. Loses in penalties, has to see Elena Sadiku go up and pick up head coach of the year. You just numb the pain, did you? Enjoy
no,
your
no.
Saturday night.
I had a few because I had to try and wake myself up. I was falling asleep when I first went in there. I was devastated for getting out of the cup. But listen, fair play to Elena. She came in, she won the league on goal difference last year, got Celtic to the Champions League. Really nice person. I got on quite well with her, so well done to her.
There you go. Please drink responsibly and all that. 01419511025 is the number that you need. So do give us a call on whatever it is that takes your fancy from the weekend. What about a full-time teaser for you? I think I was going to say this would be too easy for you two, but I mean, Roger Hanna's now losing at Beat the Pundit, so anything is possible.
Technically, drawing.
What do you mean?
I had to go to a tiebreaker.
No, that's not the way. This isn't like your
technically winning.
This isn't like
but with your bizarre handicap.
This isn't like
drawing,
a Kooten where it's only then, like the 90 minutes result. Losing. This is just outcome, outcome driven.
No.
I hope news has reached Andy Halliday by now. He'll be happy with this news, surely. Anyway, right, I've got a full-time teaser for you. That's what I was eventually getting at. But I think it's quite easy. So, we're going to go for no wrong answers on it, right? So I want you to think carefully. I want you to work your way through them and see how we can come up with. Now, thanks to David and Cambus Lang, who's sent it in. These questions always make me nervous because I think there can be a bit of debate sometimes. But David's answer is final, okay? Can you name the seven highest grossing transfers in the Scottish top flight history? includes ins and outs. So the seven biggest transfers in Scottish football history, ins and outs. Let's try and do it without getting any wrong.
Well, you mentioned one earlier, Matt O'Reilly.
Okay, Brian, you don't have to commit, but do you have any that you are sure are in the top seven?
Ingles.
Can't believe what a weekend he's had.
He's jumped in.
He's absolutely.
I've had no listen
penalty to shootout. Overlooked at the manager of the year. Well, it's not that you've not listened. He's just not in the top seven. In or out? Because how much was he?
11.
11.
Which might give you a clue. Yeah. So that means you need 12 to get on the list, which would be
Tory Andre Flo.
We'll leave it there. Brian Graham sent off as well on the full time teaser. That's incredible. Honestly, feel for the guy. I do feel for him. But anyway, 01419511025. Thanks to David, by the way, for sending the question in. If you like the sound of it, you want to get your question used in the show, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear from Stephen, who's a Motherwell fan on. Thought we were going to get another. There's a couple of Motherwell fans phoned in, tried to get them on. Stephen's through. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good. Is Nathan Patterson on the list, Gordon?
Luckily for you, he's not, because I'd have hung up on you straight away if you'd ruined that. Serves you right. What are you thinking?
Nathan, do you see here, Stephen?
Yeah, my point is, so there's been some overreaction from Motherwell fans, I think, on social media. Now, I know that the performances recently have been brilliant against Ross County and Hibs. But I still think you need to look at the fact that we've still got loads of injuries, like Nicholson and Bale, and I think that's a big problem, the fact that we don't have maybe that balance in midfield. There's a lot of pressure on Lennon Miller to be that creative player in the middle of the park, and I think that we're really missing that player's battle replacement, and Lennon is better suited to playing deeper. Now, I know we've not had a lot of possession in the last few games. I think they've actually got the lowest possession stats in the week. But I just think that that balance in midfield is really missing. And that's why we're not seeing the forward men getting brought into play. But I think there's people questioning the manager, and it's just ridiculous. We've been in a cup semi-final and we're still sitting fifth.
Do you think the criticism's over the top for sure?
Yep.
Roger, it's a dreadful result, that's for sure. I think most people expected either a Motherwell win or maybe a draw, or at the very, very most, yeah, Hibs finally get something and they sneak a win. But to go there and win 3-0.
Being at a couple of Motherwell games lately, when you beat St Johnson at home and also the semi-final when you led for such a while when Andy scored against Rangers. So I was surprised by the result at the weekend. Stephen's touched there on Sam Nicholson and Jagville. Throw in Ross Callaghan. You know, Harry Payton's just come back in the last couple of weeks off the bench. The captain, Paul McGinn's missing. The vice-captain, Stephen O'Donnell's missing. So you haven't had your injury problems to seek.
See, just on that, see to then separate, because you're right overall, Stephen O'Donnell still out as well.
Yeah.
To separate them though into
Tom Sparrow as well.
You know, position. Month now. Callum Slattery wasn't in that
Callum
list.
Callum Slattery.
See if you take Callum Slattery, Sam Nicholson, Jack Vale, Harry Payton,
Ross Callaghan,
all from the exact same area of the pitch, yeah, and then they real accuse it. By the way, the defending wasn't good at the weekend, no, but the overall accusation, no, is that they're not creative enough.
That's the thing at the minute. Yeah,
I think that's playing a part. And then I think Stephen mentioned it. Forgive me if he didn't. Main creative force was Blair Spittle last season.
Yeah, he did. No, he did.
Do you think that? I mean, is that enough though? Because Stephen's right. There is a lot of sort of anger, frustration. Do you think it is just a case of being patient, trying to get some players back in that area?
Listen, I think it must. I don't know whether Stuart Kettle was thinking, you know, shuffling the front two. He has given Apostolos, Stamatopoulos a lot of games. Some people will say, well, he hasn't scored. Other people will say, well, you need to create a chance for him before he's going to score a goal. I noticed at half-time at the weekend, Tony Watt came on. You know, Zach Robinson scored up at Dingwall. Moses Ibai scored a few off the bench at the woodwork again at the weekend. I don't know whether he maybe is thinking of shuffling his front too. You know, Maswanisi missed out in Dingwall because he'd just come back from playing for Zimbabwe and Cameroon. So there's been a lot of different issues that Stuart's had to deal with. He's desperate to get some of these guys back, but a lot of them are still going to be out for a period of time. So I think Motherwell fans do need to be patient. You know, Stephen, I think, is correct. They might just need to suffer a little bit through this injury crisis until they get everybody back. And then once everybody's back, then you can judge the team and judge the manager.
But is there more that can be done, Stephen, with the players that are there available at the moment?
Absolutely. I think we need to find a way in getting more service to the likes of Apostolos up front. And I would start Moses Abai because I think he's absolutely deadly in the box. Or he might not have the best all-round game, but you get the ball in the box, he can score your goals. So I would maybe like to see you give those two a go up front and maybe even change the shape to put Tawanda maybe on the wing and go four across the middle. But I'm not the manager. I just think we need to find a way of getting service to these forward players, because you see Apostolos' goal against Tibbs, it was a great finish, but he's not really had a chance created for them since then. And we're playing high balls up to him, and it's not his game. He's not a Brian Graham, do you know what I mean? He's not a target man. So we need to find a way to play into his strengths, and that's something that we've not been doing.
Former Hibs man, though, you'd have been happy. Were you surprised at the scale of the result?
Yeah, obviously when I seen the results Saturday night, obviously you look through the results over the course of the weekend. I was surprised because obviously Hibs have been struggling of late. Stephen, we're in December now. Motherwell are sitting fifth in the table. They've got to a semi-final, got pipped late on against Rangers. If you would have asked you at the start of the season, would you have been happy with that come December? I think you would have bitten your hand off for it. So I think you've got to have a wee bit of realism of where Motherwell are at the moment. They've got a lot of injuries, which is not helping Stuart Kettlewell and his team. But be thankful you're not one of the two Edinburgh sides that are sitting bottom and second bottom of the league.
And that's the thing, you know, Motherwell are 9 points clear at Hearts with two games in hand. You know, they're not exactly in the teeth of a relegation fight at the minute. And I think they will only get better as the players start coming off the treatment table, Gordon.
Thank you very much to Stephen on 01419511025. That said, much needed for Hibs. I mean, massive, isn't it? How can you understate how important that was at the weekend?
It was a massive result, and obviously we'll go back to Oxford howler of the week, but it got them started. They got themselves in front and they built from there. Josh Campbell getting the third goal to seal the win. Dave Gray and his squad will take huge confidence from that, because Fir Park's not an easy place to go and get a result, especially a 3-0 result like that. So well done to Dave Gray and his team, and they'll be looking upwards now.
And 6 goals in 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
You
know,
if you're going to get out of a relegation problem, you're going to have to score goals, and they've certainly shown they've got the capacity to score goals.
We debated, I think, Friday night, because Hibs have had major goalkeeping issues with Bursic, and then they brought in Jordan Smith and he flapped at one and cost them a goal against Aberdeen. And it doesn't really matter. One of the pundits said they thought they would go back, you know, to Bursic, but he kept faith with Jordan Smith. I don't know if Motherwell really tested him enough to examine whether he should stay in or not, but at least it's worked, if you like, in the sense that they won the game and kept a clean sheet.
I've not been convinced by either of them. I've seen Bussick a couple of times. I was at Tannadice when he threw a couple in stoppage time. United won 3-2. Jordan Smith, I thought, was culpable for 2.5 of the goals against Aberdeen in the middle of the week, but he did get a clean sheet, and I thought he spoke well. He did the media after the game at Fir Park on Saturday, and he spoke well. I think he'd been 11 years as a pro and has started 62 games, so this is going to be new for him. If he's going to be in the team and he's going to get a run of games, then, you know, we'll find out about Jordan Smith. I think Jordan Smith will probably find out about himself as well, Gordon.
You find out in January if you've got to be number one if they bring one in.
Transfer window opens. Right, 01419511025. The full-time teaser, David and Canvas Lang wants you to name the 7 biggest transfers in or out of Scotland in history. So Matt O'Reilly and Tory Andrew Flo is all you've got so far.
Edward,
yes.
What about Calvin Bassey?
Yes, we'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls. Give us a shout right now. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. One for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Brian Graham and Roger Hanna are here. 01419511025. Still time to look back on the weekend's biggest talking points. We've got a Scottish Cup game. Talk about romance of the cup. About to kick off. East Kilbride of the Lowland League against Falkirk, top of the championship. It is the biggest gap, if you like, the hardest draw that East Kilbride could have got for sure. I know they've done well in the Trust Trophy this season, knocking out Ayr. They've knocked out Airdrie as well.
Yeah, I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, knocked out a couple of sides.
This is Mick Kennedy's current Soldiers of Love against producer John's lifetime loves, Falkirk. There's a lot of love at K Park this evening.
You would, like East Kilbride have done really well. They've beaten a number of league teams that, to repeat, this is the hardest draw they could have got. It's the best team in at this stage of the competition.
I mean, listen, it's a big, big week for East Kilbride. Anytime you speak to Mick Kennedy, you know, in the immediate aftermath of them beating Ayr United in the Trust Trophy, the first thing he said was, you know, our priority this season has to be getting up into the league. So, in a sense, Saturday's going to be even bigger. You know, they take on Celtic's Colts, who currently lead the Lowland League. Celtic's Colts can't go up, obviously. But East Kilbride know they need a win because they're certain, you know, Trinent are there. Broxbourne, who won at Stranraer at the weekend, are there. Bowness are there. Caledonian Braves are there. So the priority for East Kilbride is Saturday in the league. This would be a bonus, but what a bonus it would be if they could be the sixth team from out with the SPFL to be in tonight's draw.
I think Celtic B have played two games more.
Yeah,
the Lowland League. It's a great cup tie, Brian, isn't it? Just like we said, the gap between the sides on paper.
No, I know, but if you go back, they've knocked out Ayr United. I don't believe they'll beat Falkirk tonight. I think Falkirk are too strong. They're flying high this season. But it's a romance of the cup. Anything can happen. Mick Kennedy's players will be believing that they can go and get through to the next round. It should be a good contest.
I'll put my own bias onto it and just complain about the rules and the way they work if Willie Collins listening or anyone else. You know what I'm about to say?
Yeah.
So I've said before many times, my brother-in-law Jack, who plays for East Kilbride, so you know, plays pretty much every game sort of thing in midfield. There's another player who's the sort of the main centre back or one of the main centre backs. They're both suspended because they've picked up two bookings in the Scottish Cup. Now, bearing in mind, if you're East Kilbride, you'll go into preliminary round one or two, play that, then the first round, then the second round, then the third round, at which point Falkirk can, the big teams, if you like, come into the Cup. But if you've picked up two bookings in all those wee rounds, you get suspended for the big
punished for your hard work to get there. Shocking.
Is that harsh or is that my own personal bias?
No, you're absolutely right. It needs to be a level playing field. This isn't a level playing field for East Kilbride. This is Falkirk's first game in the Cup. It's impossible for them to have suspensions. Therefore, it's grossly unfair for East Kilbride to have suspensions. Neither of the players, as far as I know, is suspended for a dreadful red card in a previous round. What you need to do when you're having your wee Christmas lunch with Willie Collum,
get on to him.
Couple of early glasses of red, and you say, "Listen, Willie, I'm after a favour."
Yeah, I think it's only fair. Yeah, cause, like, Falkirk would fancy their chances anyway. They're going to be big favourites. Yeah. East Kilbride would like to have gone into it with full strength team, but anyway, I suppose it's the same for everybody. The rules have been there for a while, so you just got to crack on with it. Anyway, it's underway at K Park and East Kilbride. Goalless, obviously, in the first minute. So we'll see what happens. And the draw tonight, straight after the game, I feel bad. You and me will just discuss this because it's like what you could have won big man in the corner.
I'm not healing.
But this is when everybody joins in, Roger. So the possibilities are endless. Do you get top flight teams playing each other? Do you get proper David and Goliath? Do you get potential money spinners? I mean, I'm thinking Dumbarton, they're in administration. Yep. Can they get a trip to Celtic, a trip to Rangers, maybe help save the club? I'm looking forward to that draw tonight.
Yeah, and listen, it's the best round of the Cup because the big teams come in, all the big teams come in. What about Hugh Keevan's Paper Hankies just along the road?
Beat Bucky, didn't they?
They did beat nine man Bucky to get through.
See if the Bankies got Celtic. And or the Celtic got the Bankies. Surely Hugh Keevans would do the half-time draw.
Oh, listen, there'd be a ceremonial kick-off. It'll be a
delivering
Celtic,
the match ball.
Half Celtic, half Clyde Bank, Tom.
You know, is it the World
That's a great shout.
Mascot.
You know the World Cups where they drive like a remote control car or whatever, brings the match ball out. I think Shug will just walk onto the centre circle and plant it down. Oh, I'd love that.
Can you imagine? Get him in
the
dugout.
What's the tie that would break your heart that could have won? So when you see Queen's Park come out, would you, and if it could have been you, would you like the glamour? You've done a lot of that before, or would you like something?
I would have liked the Bankies at home because then you could have potentially went to the next round.
Maybe that's the
way I look at it, but not to be unfortunate.
That's the worst hypothetical ever I've given him.
When Clyde Bank went 2-0 up at the weekend, Mark Wilson asked you know, who would you like the Bankies to get? And he actually said, it would be great if they could get Partick Thistle. What a great game that would be.
That's what put the jinx on it,
well,
that's for sure.
I think it must be.
Just very quickly, my favourite Scottish Cup story of the weekend, and I want to speak to Mark, revolves around a bus. Things you never thought you would say. Livingston's.
And Gordon Dale's favourite bus at that.
Livingston's team bus was loaned out to Broxburn to get to their cup tie in Stranraer, and it broke down. At which point, a supporter's bus pulls over, the fans get off it, the players get on, continue on their way, play the game, win the game, and a replacement bus comes and takes the fans there in time for kickoff.
And you know the irony of that, Gordon? That bus has been up and down the country. It's been at Dumfries, it's been to Inverness, it's been to Aberdeen, it's been to Annan. If that breaks down any other week, David Martindale just goes off and fixes it.
Exactly.
And he's not there.
The one weekend he's not there on the bus, it breaks down.
Let's bring in Mark. Now, Mark's an Aberdeen fan. So the last two games, Mark, what are you thinking? Is that the wheels off, or are people just overreacting?
The wheels off the bus.
Exactly. I like it, Mark. I like your style.
How you doing, Roger?
Good, Mark.
How we doing? All right.
How you doing, mate?
I think people are still criticising us in the start and as the wheels off the bus. We never had any expectations. This season, it's a 3-year plan. I've spoke to Roger quite a lot about Aberdeen, and I think Jimmy Tilleen has only spent £2 million on this squad. £2 million. We've still got £6.5 million for the Miowski funds, and Dave Cormack has come out and says I'll fund money as well. So I think Jimmy Tilleen in the transfer market of the Baltic countries, where we picked up Nielsen and Keskinen, I think we'll be okay.
Yes, it's that old one, isn't it?
I'm more worried. We should have put the won the game against Hibs. That's the only disappointing factor. St Mirren, it happens. It happens. At the weekend, we bossed Hearts for the first half. We were superb, and then Hearts steamrolled us in the second half. Mm-hmm. But out with that, I'm no really too concerned. I still think, Brian, Aberdeen have got enough, and we can strengthen. If you were to say to me, what's the worrying part of the squad? I think Mitov going off
For sure.
Half and the defence. I think we need to strengthen up the defence because we're leaking a few goals now.
It's the old one. If you'd offered it at the start of the season, I mean, seriously, to be 4 points off top, sitting in second place in December, and you've lost one league game. I mean, that's not even a question as to whether you would take it. Of course you would. But narratives, as Hugh Keevan says, the change, it becomes our Aberdeen title contender. So then all of a sudden, draw two games within a week, and then people say, look at this, this was bound to happen or whatever. Is it hard to maintain perspective?
Listen, the problem is it's 2 points from nine from three awkward away games, St Mirren away, Hibs away, Hearts away, in the space of 8 or 9 days. I'm sure Mark and every Aberdeen fan would have taken the record. I'm just looking at the table here. God, played 14, won 10, drawn 3, and only lost one game. You know, if they can beat Celtic on Wednesday night, they're a point behind Celtic in December in the title race. I mean, it's beyond the dreams of many Aberdeen fans. I think the point Mark makes about looking forward, what's success for Aberdeen nowadays? Success for Aberdeen is probably to finish third. It's probably to get into Europe. It's probably to do what they did under Barry Robson a year or two back and get group stage European football. Maybe even dream of getting, through this new look conference group into a knockout stage after the new year. That's what success nowadays looks like for Aberdeen. And listen, maybe the odd cup trophy. They've been in a couple of finals recently, and finally the Premier Sports Cup against Rangers a year ago just now, lost narrowly. So I think, Jimmy Tilleen has made a spectacularly quick start, but I think a couple more windows and he will believe he can establish Aberdeen again as the third force in the country.
Is that a fair point yesterday?
Well, we see where Aberdeen were last season. New manager comes in. He couldn't have dreamed of a better start, the manager. So they've been brilliant all year. Listen, incredible. Rodgers just hit all the highlights there. They've been brilliant. So you've just got to stick with them at the moment. They'll still, I still firmly believe Rangers will finish second, but that's just my opinion. Yeah.
But that's so, what I mean. We can't suddenly spin it that like third would be some sort of disappointment for Aberdeen.
It's not. I think it'd be an incredible season for them. And right now they're sitting second ahead of Rangers, where they've got no right, no given right to be ahead of them.
We're watching the television here. Mick Kennedy's got his Kilbride in the cup. Mick Kennedy had Darvel beating Aberdeen. Yeah. Darvel.
We're almost out of time, just quickly, because we know we like a Barney about disciplinary issues on a Monday. Should Jack Milne have been sent off for a challenge on Benny Beningame?
It's an orange.
Ooh, okay. Brian?
It's an orange, you heard the man.
Right, okay. We'll agree on that one. Right, thanks very much to Mark. How are you doing in this teaser? It's still nil-nil. East Kilbride are doing all right, by the way.
Yeah.
They're more than competing with Falkirk here, but still goalless. Seven highest transfers in or out of Scotland in history. Matt O'Reilly, Calvin Bassey, Odson Edouard, Torre Andre Flo. Three more.
Jota.
Yep.
Kieran Tierney.
Yep.
So we're looking at in excess of 12.
Oh yeah. In excess of 15.
In excess of 15.
Do you know what's funny about this? See, now that I think about it as well, I do feel like for some reason this fee just like isn't as widely reported as the rest. I don't know if because there was a time where you thought it maybe would have been more or... But it's funny, just, yeah, it's not jumping out at me this the way the rest of them are.
Out of Celtic?
Out of Celtic.
Down south?
No.
Overseas?
Yes. To France.
Moussa Dembele?
Moussa Dembele.
Oh.
There we go. Thank you very much to Brian Graham. Thank you to Roger Hanna. The biggest thanks, as always, goes to you. Thank you for listening, for calling, for tweeting, for keeping us company. Back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. Simon Donnelly turned 50 over the weekend.
I saw that. Many happy returns.
And he's celebrating with us and Gordon Dalziel tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.